All right, welcome to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes and Fries. My name is Phil, and with me today we have John, Jonathan, these are two different people, by the way, Eric, and Lovell. Thanks for coming, guys. So there's something kind of momentous here. This is our 20th episode. Something about that seems kind of significant in a way. Well, when it gets to 100, that's obviously super significant, but 20 episodes. So I want to have a quick shout out to Lovell, who's joined us, because there were some scheduling conflicts, and I was going to just say, we're just going to cancel this week's episode. And he's like, no, we got to do it. So I appreciate you pushing me to still record and all you guys for joining. So thank you for still making it happen. And then another one, I decided I want to start kind of talking, like calling out a podcast that I'm into. And one that I really like is a podcast called Business Wars. It's really cool. It's kind of like a narrative type of podcast where the host does like different voices for the different characters, but basically he kind of talks about these different rivalries between businesses. And it's really, really fascinating. Super dorky and geeky, but really fascinating. The one that's going on right now is Hershey versus Mars. It's really cool. And still looking for that first written review on Apple Podcasts. It's going to happen eventually, and then we'll read it on this podcast. So I have a question for you guys. What's your favorite flavor of M&M?
Green.
Green.
Oh, Lovell.
Peanut.
All right.
Are we doing colors or are we doing actual flavors? I thought you said
He did say flavor.
Oh. Yeah, I thought it was crazy for a second. I thought I said flavor.
No, you said flavor. There's only one crazy person here.
What's your favorite flavor? Is colors not flavors anymore?
So we have peanut. That's actually my favorite, peanut. I really like love peanut butter stuff, but I actually prefer peanut over peanut butter.
I definitely don't like peanut butter, but I love peanut.
Yeah, peanut butter is probably the better ones, and the peanut ones should objectively wind up in the trash can.
What? Okay.
Agreed.
This is give a strong food. Really? So then what's your favorite? Are you just
peanut butter? No, I like the peanut butter and I like the crispy.
Oh, the crispy. So you're kind of like one of those young ones, like those kids with their new types of M&Ms that
crispy M&Ms have been out for like 20 years.
No, they haven't. Those are like, they're for like 6 months ago.
Very new.
All right, so I was remembering a story in my head. There's a topic I've been thinking a lot about lately, and it's the topic of shame and shaming, feeling shame, shaming others. And I remembered when I was about 15, my second oldest sister was engaged to be married. And she'd be the first of my siblings to get married. And for me, this was really exciting. It meant something to me at the time. It was like, wow, it's so cool. But I really looked up to her her fiance. And, you know, because I'm the oldest boy in the family. And I think he wanted to be cool with me. So he always was like making me feel cool. And then I remember he was at our house and I don't remember what I said or did, but something inappropriate, trying to be funny. And it just didn't go over well. And he just kind of looked at me like, hey, man, not cool. And I just felt like so embarrassed, so ashamed of myself that I just walked away and went into my room and just sat there feeling really, really lame and just like, wow, I can't believe like I just made such a fool of myself. And then at a certain point, he came over and knocked on the door and he just kind of was like, hey, man, you doing all right? I noticed you walked out. And I was like, yeah, it's feeling kind of stupid. And he's like, you know, just it's okay. We all feel stupid sometimes. Sometimes we say things and he's like, well, all we can do is just kind of learn from that. And that's something that I feel really strongly about, is that sometimes we embarrass ourselves, and that's kind of part of growing up as children, and sometimes as adults we're still growing up, right? I don't know if you guys can relate to that at all.
Absolutely, but I hate to break it to you that what you felt was not shame, but was guilt.
All right, well, elaborate.
Shame is external, whereas guilt is internal. Now, there may have been an external trigger to your guilt, but that's often how guilt works. He just said, hey, man, not cool. And then you took it from there and felt guilty and felt bad. You may have felt ashamed, but you weren't being shamed by anybody in the room.
Yeah, but do you need to be shamed by someone to feel shame?
Yes, by definition. Otherwise, it's not shame, it's guilt. At least in my view.
Really? Okay. You don't think that like there's a certain point where it becomes from just being guilt to being more toxic, even if it's something just all internal?
Well, regardless, there are emotions that are based on a similar premise in that something has happened to have caused disapproval either from some entity, either from yourself or from others. And shame is generally when there's disapproval from others, and guilt is when there's disapproval for yourself. And you may have started feeling bad that other people had been bothered by what you did, but ultimately it came down to that you were bothered by what you did.
Because that's
when it's healthy, and that's when you can take action and decide to do something about it and learn from it and grow. Shame that's, you know, passed to you by others is not as productive. It's not going to get people to change because the motivation is wrong. They're just going to try to change their behavior to get a different external reaction. Whereas guilt helps you to change your actions so that you feel better about your actions, not somebody else.
But is there value there sometimes? Like, let's say there is some external thing. Someone is intending to shame you, and then you change your behavior to kind of avoid that feeling and that experience. I mean, is there anything positive from that?
It's an insincere change.
Is it though?
Yeah. Because are you really changed? Are you really just that behavior is no longer a part of your person? Or are you just careful around that party to not behave that way?
But is there something you could be learning from that experience?
Yeah, but the question is, what are you learning? Like, are you learning that, oh, I need to behave this way around this person? Or are you learning this isn't the right way to behave? Because those are two different things.
Anybody else have?
Yeah. Well, actually, I really like Eric's definition that shame is something that somebody's trying to put on you. Like, you can't really – somebody thinks what you're doing is wrong. In some way that they disapprove of it. And then you feeling guilty about it, that's how you're interpreting their shame. Shame is something that you throw at someone else. Anyways, I never thought of it that way. And I started Googling around like self-inflicted shame and not finding much about it. So anyways, I like that definition.
I think it's interesting. I think that... One thing I did find, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Brené Brown, Dr. Brené Brown. She's like an author, and I think she's big in psychology, if I understand. But she defines like there's this concept that some people have brought up of like shame and toxic shame, and she kind of says actually, I call toxic shame is just shame, and what might be considered healthy shame is actually just guilt. So it's kind of along the lines of what you're kind of saying, Eric. And she gave this example, which I think is kind of interesting, and I kind of want to read them just right out of this article in Psychology Today called Guilt Equals Good, Shame Equals Bad. And this is an example. This is an example of guilt. Sharon is shopping for Christmas ornaments. There are two similar ornaments available from the same company, one for $10 and another adorned with real crystals for $60. She surreptitiously swaps them, slipping the more expensive bulb into a $10 ornament box. Then she takes it to the counter and pays $10 for it. Later, she is hanging with it on the tree. She feels terrible. She tells her husband what she's done, and he suggests she return the ornament to the store and make a $50 donation, the price difference, to a local charity. She takes the advice and feels much, much better. Lesson learned, right? So she felt guilty for what she did. She recognized. So, I mean, you can almost say that it was self-inflicted, right? She did this thing, and then she was like feeling bad about it, but then she did something to feel better.
Yeah, that was definitely internal, not external. Driven.
Yes, right. And then in the shame example, same thing happens. She steals the thing, she puts the thing on there, but rather than this is what happens from there. She takes it to the counter and pays $10 for it. Later, she's hanging it on the tree. She feels terrible. She realizes that she is an awful human being and she doesn't deserve the love and or respect of her husband and children. Each evening thereafter, she laces her eggnog with copious amounts of brandy and stares at the ornament, viewing it as proof that she is a bad person. So no one's putting that on her, right?
Nope.
Yeah, but you can call it shame, but it's depression. It's an unhealthy to say that that's shame, and like shame is suicidal, right? It's not shame unless it's suicidal. Like, what if she just felt bad about it and she told her husband about it and he said to go return it and she did it anyway, but she still felt bad about it and laced her stuff because she felt like she was a bad person. Like, there's a difference between feeling bad about something and like feeling an unhealthy sense, low sense of self-worth. Those are not the same. Like, that story is so contrived. It's like not a good example, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I want an example of somebody that did, like, somebody that had a normal, healthy life that felt confident enough about themselves to do a little swaparoo of a thing and try to steal it for $50. Like, you'd have to, like, have been thinking about it, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be real clever and do this, to have then gone from that kind of, like, self-confident attitude to a, I'm going to kill myself because I feel so bad, is just way too contrived.
That's fair enough. I do think that, like, one of the things I did was thinking about when it comes to shame and... Because I think it's kind of understood from this conversation, none of us really feel like shame is a good thing. And if you, I mean, there's this whole new movement we have of public shaming, social shaming, you know, people whenever they make a mistake. Have you guys seen these videos that are posted on YouTube of people, you know, doing something racist or doing something that someone catches on film and it gets posted and it gets shared and these people, their lives are ruined, they're fired, they get... Everything they had is gone. Are you guys familiar with these kind of videos?
Go ahead and finish. I got some information though. Keep going.
Go ahead.
So I've fallen victim to something similar to this where I saw this thing about, it was political, and I go, yeah, I like that. And so I decided to reshare it. And after I got thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? That's a little over the edge. I don't like this thing. So I recalled it. Some people had made comments on it, and I just made a message like, hey guys, I posted something today that, you know, I do feel strongly about, but it's a little bit over the edge of how I wanted to say it. So I recalled it. Sorry if that offended anyone. And somebody went back through the archives of tweets that I had somehow and took it, reposted it again, and did it for the sole purpose of shaming me for putting this tweet out there, even though I took it down. That was an interesting experience I've never felt before, but the whole purpose of that was they wanted to bring it back up just for the sole purpose of shaming. So it was interesting experience.
How did that feel? I mean, that's frustrating. It feels terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I'm purposely trying to, you know what, realize, hey, I messed up and I wanted to pull that back, try to fix it. And then for some reason, the public decided that, you know what, this person needs to be shamed for what they did. It was weird.
Your story is almost unique in that you had already had the moment of guilt and expressed remorse and made the change. And then this person like didn't get the memo and tried to shame you after the fact. I think there's a difference between your example and like the kind of person that is so backwards and self-centered in their thought that they're willing to do these things in public that get filmed. And then whether you think it's right or not for them to get shamed after the fact, these people weren't having any regrets about their actions until 80,000 people said, what in the world are you doing? That's terrible. That's completely different.
Well, something that I was thinking of is in the case of Lovell's example is that the person who's being shamed might feel guilt. They might feel, you know, sadness or whatever, but I think there is a temptation for others to shame other people because it might give them a sense of satisfaction, a sense of, oh, I'm better than them and I'm pointing out their flaws.
That's a heavy
I'm a better person here.
Yeah, that's a heavy aspect of internet culture right now, is the whole, you know, righteous public shaming of people for things that they do. And I feel like whilst, for certain situations, we definitely need to, bring to the attention of the public things that people have done wrong. I do feel like sometimes it can definitely get taken too far. Like in the case of Lovell, you would clearly already, for lack of a better word, apologized and then they just felt the need to dredge it all up again to, I don't know, feel the power of of putting someone else down or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion of some of those like public shaming things that you see is I don't necessarily agree with the things that end up happening after the fact. Like, I don't think you deserve to lose your job or be an outcast of society necessarily because of this mistake that's been publicized. But I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody standing up to someone that is clearly behaving in a way that is not acceptable in society and telling them so. Because people like that think they can get away with whatever they want and have no respect for other people and need to be stood up to.
But there is a big difference between going to the person and saying, hey, you're doing something that isn't good. You should stop. And instead just going straight towards the public and saying, hey, let's go gather a mob, get your forks and pitchforks and torches.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't agree with the results, but I don't think there's anything wrong with 100 people saying, wow, that's really messed up of you. Because sometimes it takes somebody to see like, wow, there's this many people that think what I'm doing is wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's kind of going back to what I was saying earlier. Like that could potentially have value because that person's being shamed, but they are learning something. Oh, there's something wrong with my behavior. And it's not just to be accepted. It's also. Right.
But they need a chance to respond to that and decide to improve.
Yeah, it also depends what the end goal of the person shaming them, and I'm doing air quotes shaming, because sometimes the people are like, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and I want to try to educate you why it's wrong and help show you a better way of doing what you're doing. Some people, on the other hand, are doing it just for the satisfaction of shaming, and that's wrong kind of shaming.
Yeah, I think it's totally like exactly that's where it goes wrong is when someone does it for the feeling, that rush of power, that feeling of self-righteous satisfaction, and for social currency that comes from calling somebody out publicly. And it's because you see these examples of some of these figures, you know, like in Hollywood and different things that have been discovered for who they really are, you know, the terrible things they've done for years and years, which is great that they're having to answer for what they've done. But there was this story I read recently of one of these characters shows up at a club or like a restaurant, and these people in the restaurant start yelling at them, get out, and just yelling at them, making a scene, and those people end up getting kicked out. And all these people online were just like holding it up like they're so awesome that they did this thing. But really, this person's already been discovered for the behavior. What are they doing? They're not revealing anything to the public that the public doesn't already know about this person.
They not deserve to be able to go to a restaurant anymore? Like,
exactly. It's like that just goes to another level where it's like this person needs to stay inside forever and just rot.
Like, I don't believe the outcast of society nature of the shaming we see. I don't believe that.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like, because honestly, ultimate comes to like, what is the desired result when we do these things? Are we really trying to help someone learn and be better? Or are we trying to feel superior? I think that's where the huge difference maker.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, thanks, you guys. I think it was an interesting conversation. I liked it, the debating that we had going on. And I like it when we don't always just all feel exactly the same way. That makes for a much more interesting conversation, in my opinion. Does anybody have anything they've been watching lately or listening to or anything they want to kind of share?
Let's see here. Something that I've just barely got back into. It's a little bit of an older game, but Shadow of Mordor is a game, and been enjoying that a lot. I'd recommend if somebody has that one to look at it again.
Very good thing.
That's like a Lord of the Rings.
Good old Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, cool.
It's one I've always wanted to play. Haven't ever played it though.
It's just senseless orc killing. It's a great day after a rough day. Okay, game.
Is this a video game or a board game?
It's a video game.
It's a video game.
Great game.
Oh, I'm thinking board game for a second. Okay, cool.
Senseless orc killing.
Sit. Yeah. All right. I rolled a 7. Blah, blah, dead. All right. Well, cool. If anybody has any recommendations for topics to discuss, you can email us at boxesandfries@gmail.com. That's the word and. Or you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @boxesandfries. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Adios.
Bye-bye.